All right, this is going to be part two. We're going to talk about effective exhortations. We're going to leave testimonies behind.
So the order of the day. No battery.
So?
One of these? It's going to be low battery, too.
All right. We got a low battery on this one, too, so this one may go out. All right. We're going to leave testimonies. We're going to get on to effective exhortations. So, again, this section may not take as long, and I do want to get into some practice. All right. So, an exhortation is persuasive or inspirational speaking or writing that strongly advises an audience what to believe or how to feel or act about a particular subject. Now, exhortations are often used in reference to biblical matters, but exhortations can be about anything, right? Yeah. Because what the exhorter wants to do and is passionate about, they want you to do. I want you to drive this new car. All right. They don't get somebody just with dead words and, buy this car, come on over a lot, please. No, what do? They get into it, right? They used to slap the car on the fender and have it drive by and things like that. Now, exhortations can be quite powerful and enhance the flow of a service or shift it to a different flow. Now, that's the same thing with testimonies, right? So you'll hear a lot of things that cross back and forth, and that's fine. But again, ironically, very little training is offered on how to deliver an exhortation.
Right.
And so now we're talking about training. Now we're talking about, okay, this is what you're sensing. This is how you want to deliver it. Now, how we deliver is going to be a little bit different than testimonies. And I hope that you pick up the differences here. All right. Now, some may think that training in this dimension of speaking is somehow trying to limit Holy Spirit and trying to build on talent. No, that's not true. What we want to do is build on, okay, you have the energy of the Holy Spirit inside you. Let's let it out. Let's talk about that. All right? Because talented speaking will not work by itself. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Some people are very talented speakers. And they do all of the tricks of the trade, and they do, all of the principles. But can they still be boring or not affecting their audiences?
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
That happens. Mm-hmm. So training to speak well must include developing sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and allowing, again, the flow of the Spirit to enhance your speaking ability.
You.
Now, exhorters are very easy to identify when they speak. There is an energy and enthusiasm that flows naturally. This is not just natural as it comes out. It's supernatural as well. There's a motivation gift that is working in there. And it's listed in Romans 12. Now, the big keys, though, for effective exhortations are going to be the same thing as with testimonies. Timing, brevity, staying in the flow of service. But here's the thing to be aware of. The Holy Spirit can use an exhorter to shift the flow. And so you have to be really in tune and have a sense of Holy Spirit and how the services are going to sense that, okay, because it does happen. All right, you have a word study there on exhortations. The important thing to remember, again, that it is a motivational or redemptive gift. It's Romans 12:8. All right, and I give some definitions there. So, did I say we were on page 18?
No, you didn't.
I did not. Now let's go to page 19. Now, exhortations fall in the category mostly impromptu speaking. So, what do I mean by that? Well, for our purposes, during a service or a meeting, Holy Spirit comes and activates you. All right, you get that spark. You're given an impulse to speak in a manner that is strong and persuasive. This style of speaking is like anointed preaching, except the speakers who exhort do so with little or no prep, have little or no notes, and the speaking period is brief. Now, an exhortation could close with a challenging closer, right? And so, now, we're going to get into this. Does an exhortation always have to be loud?
No.
One story is, one time I gave an exhortation, and I was talking slowly, gently. Mm-hmm. And then I went and I laid on the floor, and I was laying sideways, still talking. So I had to come get the microphone from me. Yeah. The exhortation was about surrendering to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I found myself laying sideways like Ezekiel. Who knew, right?
Right.
That was still an exhortation.
Yeah.
All right, the dynamic nature of exhortations. This is the middle of page 19. This dimension of speaking is fascinating because of the nature of the exhorter and the Holy Spirit working together. There's a blend of an individual's drive and motivation that becomes energized by the Holy Spirit. Now, exhortations can range from the simple to deep revelation. It's deep and profound.
Yep.
Exhorters who are anointed can take command of a room or change an atmosphere. Now, as they develop as speakers, exhorters must develop a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and be able to hear his voice at all levels and decibels.
Yeah.
Very important. He does not always speak to you loudly. Remember Elijah. I'm not in the fire.
Right.
I'm not in the earthquake. Oh. It's a whisper. That's where I am. Now, one of the greatest benefits that exhorters can give to their listeners, hope. And an exhorter, if you look, go back to the definitions, an exhorter is like having an advocate standing next to you, a cheerleader, as it were. And they are on your side. It's not about wagging their finger. It's like you have a cheerleader, almost like what our guardian angels do. Right? They go to bat for you. They argue for you.
Yes.
That's what an exhorter is. Now, exhorters are like preachers, and they can deliver catalyst moments. This is at the bottom of page 19. There are many moments in Scripture like that. For example, choose you this day who you will serve. Who said that?
Joshua.
Was that a catalyst moment?
Oh, yeah.
Sure it was. Yeah. Now, because of the way the exhorters are graced with their gift, they have a sense of knowing when to capture the momentum of a charged atmosphere.
Or a move of...
Uh-oh.
It does.
The green one, I think. She put batteries in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Batteries in.
Thank you. Back on.
Yep.
Amen.
Now, exhorters, the way they're graced with their gift, they're going to sense things, and the Holy Spirit's going to work with them and so forth, and they're going to know when there's a charged atmosphere, and they're going to get downloaded with something to speak. All right? That's the way it works with them. And again, it's an internal motivation. They cannot help themselves.
Right.
Would you agree, Melinda? Can't help it.
No.
It comes out. Yes. Are you raising your hand? Yes, I agree.
I agree.
Yep. See, that's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon me at times. I can't help it. It's got to come out.
Right.
And it's going to come out. I'm for you. I'm a champion for you. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to speak for you. I'm going to,
yes.
Right? You just feel that.
Yes.
It's for the people. Now, that doesn't mean that I know everything or how to use my particular gift. I need training to help me
right. And
to get better with that. Now, preaching is not mentioned as a motivational or redemptive gift in the Bible. A lot of people think it's a gift, but it's not. But many who have the exhorting gift are preachers. Go figure.
Yeah.
Right? Some of them are teachers and pastors. So that redemptive gift, that motivational gift, also resides in those positions for the church. Yeah. So that's why you get some of this energetic preaching out here. They say, well, God has graced me as a preacher. Well, he's graced you as an exhorter. All right? But that comes out in your preaching. Now, as I said before, exhorting is like preaching in many respects. And many principles of preaching also fit with exhorting. Some preaching may seem like one long exhortation, right? Now, the aim is not the head, but the heart. We're on page 20, by the way, in the top. Exhorters look to persuade people, not just appeal to the intellect. Now, like a preacher, the exhorter is the message. Now, what do I mean by that? That means I don't have just words. You're going to get the full anus.
Thank you.
You get that? You know what I mean?
That's right.
The full me.
Yeah.
Because I'm not just here to give you some good downloaded information. I want to persuade you.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an exhortation. That's what they feel like. And an exhorter's life is a testimony and a message that is displayed to everyone as well. Remember we talked about leadership? That you will be walking in places where if perhaps an informal leader, well, people are going to be viewing you differently. All right, hey, that guy. I know that guy. He gets up there on the mic. He sure does yell a lot. He's very excited. Loves God. Right? My life is on display. Now, like a preacher, exhorters may have to step out of their normal self to fully deliver their message. And this may get loud and demonstrative as part of the overall message. This is part of the package. And again, you can't help yourself but to do it. Right? Now, you may be feeling inspired in doing it. Just go with it. All right? Say, well, that sure isn't me. Well, when you're in the anointing, it can be you.
Yes.
But be the real you. Don't try to generate something that isn't there. Does that make sense for you? When it's on you, go with it. But oftentimes what happens is people who have the gift, the Lord uses them frequently in that gift. Okay? Can I get some water for a second? All right. Now, because exhortations are generally short, due to time and circumstances, you've got to be on point. So the speaker needs to start well. And we're in the middle of page 20. General principles here. Seek to capture the listener's attention immediately. Hey, I've got a thing for you, a message for you. Start boldly, be strong, and get to your main point quickly. Get it hard. Give the audience a reason why they should listen to you. What are the benefits of hearing my message? Acting on it. Now, if needed, because it is a challenging message, or perhaps I want to persuade you, I may want to lead you in a prayer or something to close this little message out. Okay? That happens quite often here in our fellowship. Now, again, you see it in bold letters in the middle of page 20. When giving exhortations, think of only having 2 to 4 minutes to bring it. Don't take longer than 5. And again, this forces your mind to deliver the content in a brief and concise manner. You may have more time. There might be exceptions, but don't go on that guideline right there. And again, if you've got people falling out of the chair and the people are weeping and people are standing up and they're going, yes, I want that, you know. Hey, there might be times all bets are off. I got to
keep going.
Yeah, keep going. Right? Now, many exhortations are given during song services or before a main speaker takes the podium. And there may be other speakers lining up for their turn at the microphone. And that is part of the reason why you want to think of delivering it in a brief and a concise manner. Now, exhortations spark others. Mm-hmm. And they're going, pop, 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 pop.
Yep.
They want to get up there, and they want to share. And then the leaders have to play traffic cop. Right? That's just part of what happens. And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. That means people are, they're engaged, they're activated.
Right.
They're affected. That's good. Now, depending, now, this is where, hopefully this is not a hard truth, but depending on who you are, where you are, and the timing in the meeting, you might be given more latitude or less. But don't dither around. Okay? Maybe because it is something that they sent, the leaders sense that I've got, they're going to give me latitude to bring it. And they're not concerned about time. All right, well, still, that's a good thing. That happens. But I'm not going to dither around with that. I'm not going to say, oh, hey, they're going to give me 15 minutes. I'm going to take it all. Don't do that. But go as long as needed. Now, can you take notes with you? Yes. Don't put your face in them, though. Only bring them to remind you of a point. All right? If I do this, the reason is because the Lord gives me several bullets or something like that. I just want to remember them. What I don't like, of course, is getting up here. I go through four bullets or I go through three. I go take a seat and, oh, man,
right.
I forgot my number four.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a very tough thing to do, to come back up and say, hey, can I have the mic again, please?
Right.
Nope, the pat, it's gone. Your opportunity's gone. I've tried that, too. I said, hey, can I just say one more? And the person looks at me like, so it's happened. Yeah. So I've learned, say, you know, once you're done, you're done. All right. Who are the exhorters? This is page 21. Who are they? Now, I borrow from Wales in his book, Designed for Fulfillment, A Study of the Redemptive Gifts. And so I'm using some of his material, and I want to give him credit for that. If you look in the bold or the bigger print, many excellent and true exhortations come from exhorters who seem to do it naturally.
Yep.
Why? Well, they're internally motivated to do that. There's no secret, okay? They can be excellent communicators. They can be influential. They can be change agents. They are also revealers of God, His Word, and His will. Now, another aspect of exhorters is this. They maybe have given a message for a season, not just one service. But it may be a thing that has been put inside them for a whole season or longer. All right, and that's all they want to talk about. Holy Spirit's doing wonderful things right now on the earth and so forth. And that's all you want to talk about. So that can be on an exhorter. Like a preacher who has a burning message that needs to be released, so it is with an exhorter. All right? If they are denied in releasing a message that burns inside them, they may wind up getting frustrated.
Yep.
What happens is, let it out. I must let it out. Right? This is how they feel. So this is where pastors and service leaders need to recognize who their exhorters are.
Yep.
And when they've got that thing going in them, they say, okay, boy, they've got to get this thing out. All right, there's something that's being bottled up. An exhorter is a stimulator. Their drive and motivations are to encourage believers to mature and grow spiritually. And they can be great front men for movements or causes. Okay, why is so-and-so a front man for this particular group? Well, it's because he's perhaps an exhorter. He carries the message. Now, one of the things about, exhorters can be informal leaders. This makes people nervous, all right? Because, well, wait a minute, I'm a positional leader. I'm the one that the people should be following. But that isn't always the case, is it? Somehow, this informal leader seems to be getting a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. And their message seems to be stronger than what I've got. What's going on here? Well, It is because they have that gift in them. And it can be used to pull people away because they've got a good message. They're persuasive, right? So, and this happens. And then church splits start sometimes because of it, or occur as a result of it. Yeah. Sometimes it's the informal leaders who have more power. This occurs professionally too, right? Now, this is the ironic part about exhorters. They may not readily confront sin. Why? Well, they don't want to be confrontational with you. They're with you. They're along with you. They're cheerleading you. They don't want to say, hey, you've got a sin problem, brother or sister. All right? Instead, they'd rather be saying, hey, how's it going? I'm with you. Anything you need. All right? They may be reluctant to confront. They want to be a positive force. They don't want to be confrontational with people. Now, also, let's go to page 22. Now, the weakness of an exhorter, too. Now, again, we're identifying who they are. A weakness is they may not relate to those who are suffering in a trial. Well, why is that? Because they're cheerleaders. Go team! Of course you can make it. I'm with you. I'm for you. And they may not see the pain that people are enduring, or can see. In other words, they can't see that pain because they're so busy championing your cause. Another weakness of exhorters is they can wield the force of their personalities. And this can be a good thing. This can be a bad thing. It just depends on the context. But exhorters have a strong personality, generally speaking. And so they can wield that force. Again, these informal leaders, this is what makes other positional leaders concerned about them, okay? Because they're exerting that influence. Now, exhorters can also be interrupters. And I'm just, for you pastors and leaders, this is just the way it is. I have done this. I have not been able to contain myself. I apologize to our leaders. I don't know why I felt compelled. I have done this where I've stood up and just blurted in tongues, and I'm pointing at an individual. That's what happens. Now, of course, Don and Melinda understand this, so I'm given grace. Until they took me to a back room one day. I just realized, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Then I really understood. Sorry. I had to get a light moment in. All right, so.
But we do talk after services.
Yeah, we do. Okay, let's talk about skill building with exhorters, because you will see them, you'll hear from them, and, you know, if you're a leader and you have exhorters in your congregation or in your group, this is what some things you need to be thinking about. Don't be afraid, for one thing, to get out there and help train. Okay? You need to get out there and do some interventions. Because if you don't, what happens is they'll start developing habits, or they'll start doing things, and they're going, oh, okay, we got a problem. So let's get in there and start talking about it. Now, skill building, listening to hear Holy Spirit in varying degrees. Learning to be brief and precise in speaking. Because remember what we talked about when you got up here and you feel anointed and you feel good and you feel like you've got a lot to share and you keep going and you keep going and I don't know when to stop, but man, this feels good, and so I'm going to just keep going until, oh, here comes the hook. Right? Get out of there. Okay? Being direct while still being courteous and gracious in speaking. Learning the when to speak.
Yep.
Because, again, exhorters, once they start getting that fire in their bones, right, hard to quench, hard to hold, but they have to learn to do it. Expanding their sensitivities to read their audiences and atmospheres. Okay. Look, I'm just so excited, and I'm just so full of energy. All right. I'm just going to go, wow, I'm going to drop a message on you, right? And it's not quite ready. They're not sensing where the audience is at that moment, or what the Spirit is trying to do at that moment, because they're so full of energy themselves. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Learning the when to speak. Expanding their sensitivities to read their audiences. I covered that. Exhorters tend to be busy. Okay, they're busy doing the master's business, and so sometimes they have a hard time saying no. Let's flip the page to 23. This is a little bit shorter list. I'll go through it pretty quick. 14 principles and tips for on exhortations. 14.
13.
Oh.
John?
Yes.
Could I ask you to talk about something on 22? Okay. I don't know what it means.
What's that?
The bullet point, how to bring bad news gracefully for an exhorter.
An exhorter does not like to bring bad news. Exhorter doesn't like to confront sin. Now, these are general things, right? These are general, because certainly there's people that have developed skills and abilities to be able to do that. But see, an exhorter, by their nature, is your cheerleader. Right? See, they're a go team. We can do this. We can make it. Let's go through this. Right? What they don't want to do is, one thing, get you upset with their bad news.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you guys have 13. Good.
Yes.
All right. Page 23. Now, this is going to sound like, hey, this is what I heard for anointed preaching, or this is what I've heard for testimonies. It's all good. Don't worry. A lot of these principles blend. You can go back to the list with testimonies, all right, those 22 points, and apply that in a lot of ways to exhortations. Now, before getting up to exhort, have a sense of the audience in the flow of the service. Oh, we've talked about that, right? You're likely activated because something bore witness with your heart, and you would like to add that something to the flow of the meeting. I will tell you, though, be aware, for exhorters, the Holy Spirit may crash on them to bring something, to either to shift a service. Agreed? Happens. Number two, pray into what you need or want to say. Ask the Holy Spirit for the right words and the timing. Just stay sensitive to the flow. Number three, when it's time to speak, abandon yourself to your message. Now, this is something that is easier said than done, because it's not easy to get up there and bring it, right? Because hey, that's not my nature. Hey, I've never done that before. And so the challenge is in training with these things, and even with testimonies, is to bring it, you need to bring it with conviction.
Right.
I want you to go buy this bucket of bolts. It sure is a rusty bucket, but you know what? Hey, I'm going to give it to you for $500. Come on in. Come on in and buy it.
Thank you.
You know, we'll have a cup of coffee to go and, you know, be on your way. Would you buy a car from me?
No.
The car's got to come in, you're going to shine it up, and you're going to say, Dad, look at this great big beast. This thing is going to take you to across country in $15.95 as you slap the fender and it drives off. You remember those car commercials? Did you ever have them up here? This is what's happening in my mind. Right? Then what do? They get a persuasive guy up there. They get an exhorter. They say, you're going to look great in this car. You're going to, which, by the way, cars, ministry. Right? It's typological. You're going to look great in this car. It's going to perform great for you. It's within your budget. We'll make it work. Come on in. Come on in and get it. All right? And because the car is appealing to you, you're going, you know, maybe I will go in there. Okay? Because I've opened your mind to the idea. And so those are what exhorters do. Okay. Enough about the cars, huh? But see, to do that, you have to abandon yourself to the message. You've got to release your emotions. You've got to release yourself. And you know what? If you get into the antics of it, do so. All right. Let's go to number 6. This is important. Exhortations typically, how many points?
One.
1 point. That's it. This is a general rule. Just like testimonies, all right? If you have more than one, you're going to take more time. It's going to extend. I had an example here. I wanted to do this and demo it. Maybe I will real quick. Hang on.
Stand up, everybody.
Yeah, stand up. Stand up.
Do that stretch.
2 second stretch.
There we go.
Seventh inning stretch. Seventh inning stretch.
Seventh inning stretch. All right. Now, I'm going to demo something to you, and which will bring a lot of these points home. I'm going to give you a sample exhortation. I'm going to do everything wrong. I'm going to test your patience here. You know, I came up here today and I wanted to talk about the deliverance from the evils of R-rated movies. They're bad for you. They poison your mind. There's all kinds of wicked things in it. And you know, but I will say one thing though too. There are some good things in those movies as well. And sometimes I can capture some life lessons. Could you say amen to that? That you can get a life lesson with that? And you know, I tell you, it just reminds me also of the drinking and drugging that I used to do when I was a young man. And I was just all over the place, and I was just drinking and drugging and trying to feel good and all of these things. And what I am saying to you is don't do it. If you get tempted with drinking and drugging, don't do it, man. I'm telling you. And then the other thing is, you know what that reminds me of sometimes? It's just when I remember when I was in Africa, the people that I ran into, they were just doing all this drinking and drugging and walking all around and carousing and all this thing. But you know, there was a good core remnant of people. And that's what I mean about bringing the remnant to the fruition of the God's plans. And you know, the other thing is, I remember also when I visited Egypt, or I want to go to Egypt, I'm sorry, and I want to visit the Nile, the river, because why? Because the Nile River, it reminds me of baby Moses. And I tell you, all right, I have tested your patience long enough, right? I have more list. All right, you see what happened there?
Yeah.
All over the place. What was the first thing I talked about? That's pretty good. That's pretty good. What was the last thing I talked about?
The Nile.
See, I was going to do that with the testimonies, but we got into that. But see, this is why one item, one. Don't litter the place with all kinds of, your mind will get lost. Even your own mind will get lost. Guy's mind did. So, I know it's kind of hopefully a humorous example of, now some people are also, they are master storytellers or they're great storytellers. And what happens, they go from one story, you seem to like it, and then I want to go into another story. And then, oh, you're seeming to like it, that story too. I want to go into another story.
Yeah.
All right. What's happening is you are diminishing story number one.
Yeah.
which is the reason why you were up there.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep going, and then now you're testing the endurance of the mind to keep up with you. And this is different from an overall message. The preacher usually has notes and order. It's all lining up one layer upon another.
Right.
You can get up there in an exhortation and just go all over the place, as I just did. Okay. So it takes discipline, and experience does help with that too. All right, are you still with me?
Yes.
Did I lose you? All right. All right, if you do an exhortation, just use one Bible verse. Don't bring in many, just one. And I think that you would understand why. Now, personal experiences, yeah, they're wonderful to bring, but as long as they're short, interesting, relevant, and on point. And if it doesn't take a big context to set these things up. Turn the page to 24. Number 9. As always, keep them positive. Build faith, hope, and love. Remember the word meanings from the Greek text. Exhorters are like having advocates. 10. Exhorters do not always have to be... You already covered that. Let's go jump to 11. This is important. And I've been caught doing this. I've caught myself. Use we. We need to do this, not you.
Yeah.
You need to do this. Whoop, whoop, stop that. Don't do that. Nope.
Yeah.
It's important. Because what it does is we're all in this together.
That's right.
Instead of you need to do this.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. That's right. All right, 12. This is another one. As with any impromptu speaking, even with prepared preaching and teaching, there are moments when you try to describe a spiritual experience that people can understand, and it is very difficult to describe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's very easy to say, all right, let me describe this to you, and I'm trying to use careful words. You know what? You kind of have to push through that, because if you get hung up on that, you're going to lose valuable time. And then it's going to be time to surrender the mic and sit down. Okay? So do your best description and then move. This is why it's important to think about what you have to say before you get up there. 13, it's very easy to do. Do you have that, grinding an axe?
Yes.
Very easy to do. Very easy to talk about the president. It's very easy to talk about Congress and their do-nothing policies. And it's very easy to talk about abuses. And very, you know, don't keep grinding the axe. We all get it.
Yeah.
What's positive? What can I...
Yeah.
I need to be persuaded. Jesus is going to take you through that. Jesus is going to help you and bless you. That's what we need. Do you have 14 there?
No.
All right. Maybe this is an addition. The better you become with exhortations and the more comfortable you are in front of audiences, the more details you start becoming aware of, such as your impact on the audience, the anointing, sensing atmospheres, and then you can start fine-tuning your speaking skills. Why don't you go ahead and stand up right now? You need to shake it up. Stand up.
John, can you repeat that one again?
Yeah. The better you become with exhortations, and the more comfortable you are in front of audiences, the more details you start becoming aware of, such as your impact on audiences, the anointing, sensing atmospheres, and then you can start fine-tuning your speaking skills. Okay? This is where it gets really good. Now, when you have impact on audience, when they're standing and they're cheering with you, yes, I want that, you connected. If people start breaking out and weeping, you've connected.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got, well, there's all kinds of other things. If you have people starting falling out of their seats and people are starting to scream in the spirit and things like that, you connected, right? Those are pretty visible signs. Okay, you can sit or you can stand, up to you. I know it's at the after lunch. It's a tough, tough time. All right. Let's go to the bottom of page 24. And I said that in big bold print. Remember, you are the message in exhortations. If you grasp that, you're going to it's going to be more dynamic for you. We're going to practice a little bit about that, or with that. Now, what you have to do, folks, is you have to get out of the normal range of self. All right? Think you can do that? All right. The next page, page 25. Hey, we're going to get done.
Hey.
I know this is a lot of information, but it's there to take home, read through. Don't sell it on the street corner. I'm kidding. Now, I want to give you a tip here. Impromptu speaking. How many people have said or have asked you, hey, can you speak in this meeting? You ever had that?
Today.
It happens.
Just today.
Just today?
Not just today.
Well, I want to give you a formula that you can use. And again, I'm taking it from the world of business. So I did this actually several months ago now. This was Kevin Blanchett's funeral. And I felt before I left, I said, the Lord, I could feel his presence on me. He said, I want you to speak something about Kevin. Oh, boy, I remember the emotion, too. And I said, okay. And then I get there, and I'm going, I don't really have a lot to say, but I do remember this formula, and it's in the middle of your page 25, past, present, future. So what I did was I simply looked in the past, and I brought out something, Kevin's past, which connected with my past, and I brought that out. I also looked at something from the present, something that some family can hold it onto, or something that was near the present, something about Kevin that I always appreciated, or that we did together, or something like that, and then the future. So I'm speaking now. Kevin's not wasn't there. He's not here anymore. So I had to speak something in the future that inspired hope. That's something for the family to hold on to with him. And whether that be his memory or that his his legacy that he left behind and things like that. So that simple formula, I was able to grab a notepad, start writing an outline. And you know what? I had a full outline.
Yeah.
So it's something that you can use too. Now, also, I used the same formula when I talked about my son's wedding toast. We brought up something from his past, brought up something about his present, yes, and something I spoke into his future,
yes,
with a blessing. Okay? So you can use this as well for these impromptu moments, and they'll drop on you and say, oh man, what do I say? So instead of, you getting up there and you're fishing for something to say, you have a plan. You have an outline. And all you have to do is remember past, present, future.
Wow.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's great.
For impromptu occasions. And especially when you move into positions of leadership and things like that, people are going to ask you to do these things. Or because you have experience in speaking in front of audiences, the Lord's going to drop that on you.
Yeah.
So be prepared. It's going to happen. All right. Now, with that, with the impromptu, and I think I talk about it in page 26 at the top there, second paragraph. Now, with impromptu speaking, this is going to happen to you as well. Because you're going to be an instrument of his grace, power, he's going to drop on you, drop in unannounced, and say, I want you to speak this to people. Okay? How many times has that happened to you? Some of you?
Yeah.
Okay, it happens.
Yeah.
And so you have a choice. You say, no, I'm not prepared, I'm not ready, or you go with it. And I'm going to say one thing. Some of your best messages are going to be impromptu.
Yes, sir.
Your best messages, because they're fresh, they're revelatory. And you know, there's been times I'm scribbling down as fast and furious as possible, not to miss a thing. And then, because I know that I'm going to be going up there and doing a message. So whatever you've missed, you're probably not going to remember. And that's why you want to write it down as much as you can. All right. I want to get off that topic, and now we're on the home stretch. Now, there's a chapter here. Some of you are in leadership, and so I'm not going to cover this in detail, but this is something good to read. And this is a note for pastors and service leaders, because I relate to you. I understand some of the things that you face, all right? Do I let this person speak or not? Should I, and when do I intervene? You know, when is the right time? And you know, those are not easy questions to answer. But I hope that what this does, it starts kind of being, you know, stir some thought and help be a little bit of a guide to you. So it's, you know, it's not easy because, I'll give you an example. It's when people start, you know, they're taking their baby steps and they start walking up to the front and they want to speak and express. It's a wonderful thing. We don't want to turn people away like that, but we do want to start coaching and counseling and teaching at that moment. All right. Now, also, I'm not getting on my soapbox right here. I'm just letting you know that there's some comments here that you may want to read to look at it. And then you determine accordingly as to how you can use that. I will say this. If you have a church body or if you have meetings where you invite people to come and speak, you are going to run into issues. Yeah. You're going to have it. And so what you have to do is have policy and a plan in place to implement when things start going sideways. Okay? Because it will. But just because it will doesn't mean you're going to want to cut back or not or withhold the microphone from your people, right? Because they can bring some beautiful and marvelous things.
Right.
Okay. Let's go to page 29. Oh, wait a minute. We're done. Okay. All right. Oh, I gotta bring things up. Hanging in there?
Yeah.
Good to go?
Yes.
All right, was that valuable for you? That helpful?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, so now we're going to do the same things. We're going to break up into groups again because I want to at least get one round in. And the best way to do that is going to be splitting up into three groups. And I want you to think about, we're going to, Barb, if you don't mind bringing the music back on, what I want you to do is I want you to sit for a few moments and I want you to think about something that the Lord would like you to bring to others. All right? And again, remember that we love you. We're not concerned if you trip and stumble. If you take a fall, we'll be there to help you up. But I want you to think of something that you'd like to bring, something that burns on the inside of you, and ask the Lord about it. Now, when you get up there and start speaking, I need you to, A, watch the tone and level of your voice, please, because we have other speakers going on. What I'd like to do also, once we go through this round, is I'd like to open it up for the audience in general, overall, and have an exercise with that. But I want you to talk like this. So if this is my group here, I want to bring a testimony to you, but because of the noise level, I have to talk like this, but I want to talk to you in a way that I'm emphatic, that I'm bringing a message that's very important to you. Now, you don't have to copy my body language or anything else like that. Be you. But remember, exhortations are persuasive. What do you want people to do or remember? Okay. And what you're going to do, you're not going to want to talk just softly like this. Unless the Lord is leading you to do that. And I'm... Holy Spirit, we just allow you to run free, be free. But if you feel that message burn inside you, you're going to shift. And you're going to speak, and you want to speak with power. We're going to give you an opportunity later to do that. Okay? So just take a couple minutes before we break up in groups. Any questions? And we're still going to have 5-minute time limits. Let's break up in our groups. Melinda's group over there. Don's group over there. Don Davis's group right here. If we get to the point where we get through this,
further,
a little bit further along. Okay, ready? Let's get in our group.
You would do that.
I would. I do.
Sure.
Let's get the first person up. I think we're all here.
Nancy's so we're all here now.
Who else? Are we all here?
Yeah.
Ray.
Right.
Ray is right there, but Nancy.
Okay, is everybody up? Up the mat? Ready?
I'll sit over here.
I'm going to be doing the time. I will be counting off the minutes that are remaining. Watch your voices, because we've got three groups going. And go.
I have something for you all. It's fitting with what we had just experienced in this service this morning. God is moving. He's drawing on our hearts. And he's telling us it's very, very important that we continue following through with what we heard today. We just don't forget about it. But we act upon it day after day after day. We continue. We continue. We have to continue seeking to be more like Jesus. We have to realize that we have these demons and demonic influences within our lives. We have to break them. It's an ongoing thing because we're not perfect. We must make that stand. So let us come together in prayer. Oh Lord, help us. Help us, each and every one of us. We all have this situation. We're not perfect yet, Lord, but we need you. We need you, Lord, to come encourage us, strengthen us, open up our eyes, give us the direction that we must go so that we can be serving on.